Welcome back. I'm Kaden Harris. I'm here with a very special guest. I'm going to let her introduce herself.
This is Lara Overton with the Indianapolis Colts. It's great to be here.
Thank you for coming. It's a great surprise. Not really a surprise, but
yeah, you guys have an incredible setup. This is so fun to be a part of. It's good to, you know, at the end of this season, after wrapping up a long season, which was an eventful and exciting season, now we're kind of in the off season. So having the opportunity to do this is incredible.
All right. So I think I'm just going to go ahead and get started. First question, what is the mindset for the Colts going into the upcoming draft?
Wow. I think that one of, you know, your priorities is continuing to build the depth that you saw over the course of this season. You overcame so much adversity with injuries. Anthony Richardson, obviously starting the season with Jonathan Taylor, you know, out those first four games, but then signing that deal, getting that deal done. I mean, injuries to Juju Brents, of course, of interest right here, Warren Central, no doubt. And everything, there was a suspension to Grover Stewart, and you're in a position now where last year, my goodness, what a difference a year makes. Last year, at this point, you hadn't even hired your head coach. You were still in that interview cycle of having about a dozen different coaching candidates that you were talking to. You'd started to whittle it down and eye the guys who you were looking at. But Shane Steichen, 1 year ago, was preparing for the Super Bowl. Right. He wasn't even yet named the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And this point last year, you had a top five pick. Tons of questions surrounding your quarterback situation. Now you feel pretty good, even though it was a limited sample size of what you saw with Anthony Richardson. You feel good about what he brings to your offense. You know that you've secured Jonathan Taylor. You're retaining your defense. That was another question going into last year was, whatever head coach comes in, will they want Gus Bradley and his staff? And now we know Shane and Gus have that strong rapport, even prior to Indianapolis coaching together with the Chargers organization. So you want to capitalize on the continuity that you've built. Now, what can you do in that middle pack of the draft where you're right around 15? I've talked to a lot of scouts that they're like, you know, kind of after that top 10 is where you see a big difference typically in the talent of who's available. And this is, you know, scouts all across the league. So what do the Colts do at 15? We haven't seen Chris Ballard be super aggressive in necessarily moving up or wanting to give up what you would have to jump necessarily into the top 10. And I don't think you have to get quality players. You know, when you think about when the Colts were in a similar position back in the 2020 draft and they traded for DeForest Buckner, you think about how that worked out. So I think you have a lot of options at this point where you can explore different things and how you use that 15th pick. The Colts have been really good about capitalizing on day two picks as well. You know, look at those second and third rounds. You really see that the Colts have been one of the better teams in the league at capitalizing on those opportunities in the deeper rounds. 15 is really intriguing. There are a lot of opportunities and possibilities with that. Even prior to the draft, though, the big storyline is, does a deal get done with Michael Pittman Jr.? You know you got to have weapons for Anthony Richardson. You got to have weapons for Shane Steichen to run his offense through. You got JT secured. Now what does that future look like for Pitt?
What positions are the Colts focused on? You know, I've seen a lot of mock drafts where the Colts, you know, they're trying to build that depth at cornerback or on the edge.
Yeah, I think that those are always positions of priority. I haven't heard any particular position. The Colts are really good about drafting based on player rather than drafting out of need. You know, they have to really be convinced that this guy is the right fit. They're not going to reach for a guy or draft solely based on, hey, there's a player who we like better that's at a different position, but we feel like we need X. And they're not going to go that direction. They're going to make sure that you get the best player that's available at 15 or whatever other position that they are. Yes, I think that obviously you've heard Chris Ballard reiterate it over and over. He loves trenches. He loves to build through the trenches, loves to build that line depth, both offensively and defensively. Would not surprise me if they reinforce those edges. Hey, keep in mind, the Colts set the franchise sacks record this year with the guys who you have. So you do feel pretty good about what you have up front right now. Kwity Paye continues to develop a first-round pick just a couple years ago. Dayo Odengbo had a really big jump this year as well. So I think that that's an area. You do certainly want to continue building your secondary, very, very young secondary behind Kenny Moore. He's in a contract year as well. What does that look like for Kenny behind guys like obviously Juju Brents, Jalen Jones had a breakout year. That's a late round guy, a round seven guy who you had starting. Julian Blackman, your safety, also in a contract year. So there's going to be some turnover within that secondary. So also wouldn't surprise me too if you do eye corner. And there have been a couple of names that I've heard circulating. This is a critical period though. All the Colts scouts right now, including general manager Chris Ballard, head coach Shane Steichen, they're down in Mobile this week for the Senior Bowl. And that's really where you start to see, they get back in the building in about a week and they'll start those February meetings where they begin to build the draft board.
This is the kind of period where the Colts, if they do the right things, they could go potentially from good to great. Now, kind of like in your life, we know you've met a lot of celebrities, but has there been anybody that you've truly like been a huge fan of that you've met?
Oh, gosh. I mean, so many. Like, every time, the thing is, I don't think you ever, it never feels normal when you're around Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's, I've been so fortunate to interview him and interact with him in a number of different capacities, you know, over a number of years. He's always one that I really enjoy because, first and foremost, you feel his presence before you see or hear him. The energy in a room shifts when Peyton Manning enters it, you know, whether it's a locker room, whether it's a studio, whether it's on field at a game day, whatever it is, he just brings that with him. And the other thing is, every time that I have interviewed him, and it's been for a couple of different things, whether it's at the stadium for Ring of Honor ceremonies for one of his teammates, and just, you know, a couple years ago it was Tart Glenn, got to talk to him about that. It was Dwight Freeney prior to that, you know, when Reggie has gone in, different things of that nature. Or he's done some other stuff. We did a really cool project with him last year about the Monday night comeback at Tampa Bay. It had been 20 years since that game, back in 2003. Sat down and talked with him for quite a while about that. And what I love about whenever I have that opportunity with Peyton, you know, you have to be at your very best. You have to be prepared. You want to come in, you want to level up, so to speak, right? Because he is the most prepared. And so I love kind of that challenge of it. And it's one thing where, you know, I try to not get like starstruck, or, you know, you do become a little conditioned where, you know, you aren't necessarily as impacted by, oh, it's celebrity or it's someone of status. But I do think that there's an added excitement when it's someone like Peyton.
Who is the most famous contact you have in your phone?
Oh, man, that's a good one. Most famous. Trying to think. So I interned at ESPN, and I've done some work with ESPN. So there are a few, like, you know, ESPN personalities and whatnot. Reggie Wayne, that's a pretty good one,
yeah.
I think. Oh, man. This is always a good question. I should have been like more prepared for this. Like, I feel like Reggie is a pretty pretty solid one. You know what's funny now too is I feel like there are certain people, even when you meet, almost just chat even more so via like Instagram, like DMs and different things. Like, so there are a lot of people who I might converse with pretty often, or I'll reach out via DM that you don't even have numbers, because I almost feel like, not that numbers are obsolete, but you have so many different ways that you can communicate and reach people now. But yeah, Reggie is probably pretty high up on the list. The other thing too is a lot of the coordinating that we do, if we're doing, you know, interviews or events or whatever it is, I'm usually going through like our PR department, or, you know, maybe it's the agent or whatever that might be. So often I don't even need to contact people directly because there's kind of so much facilitating of it as well. But yeah, I think, you know, future Hall of Famer Reggie Wayne is probably going to, you know, can't go wrong with 87.
You definitely can't. For you, what is the difference in the game, watching it from TV or in the stands or on the field?
Oh my gosh, there's so much. I think that whether you are in the stands or on the field, the energy of the stadium is like none other, right? Like, even as talented as broadcasters are at painting the picture, and you've got all of the sound coming from the field, all of it, there's nothing like the feeling of actually being in the stadium when you get to kick off, you know, that just the anticipation, the buildup. I love it. Like, I love getting to the stadium 4 hours before and just feeling it rise, feeling that dynamic build over those 4 hours. And then it kind of all culminates when you get to kick off and you have those four quarters. Watching it at home sometimes, though, I appreciate that you get to see angles and replays and different things like that. So there are things that when I'm on the field, I might not, you can't tell, you know, maybe it's on the opposite side of the field, or, you know, if it comes down to a possession. So that's one thing that you miss. And fortunately, we have such an incredible in-house production crew. When we're at home, I can kind of check the video board on a critical play and they'll show the review, whatever it might be. And then the sideline perspective is being able, one, to travel, go experience other stadiums, right? And there are a few that have been favorites of mine. Minnesota, like the Vikings game day experience, unbelievable. Vegas, unbelievable. I'm so glad that last year I got to go there, feel what that game day is like. So, I mean, it's going to be different for a Super Bowl, but you at least know what Allegiant Stadium is like. I mean, it is like a party. Like, the suites are down on the field. Like, what's really cool about what they've done is they leaned into Las Vegas. Like, what makes us unique about having an NFL franchise in Vegas? And that's all, you know, part of it. There's nothing like Arrowhead Stadium. That's unbelievable as well. Houston does a really nice job with their game presentation too. Atlanta was fun this year. It was the first time I'd been to Mercedes and been able to see that venue. So I love that part of it. And the other thing is, I never take for granted that I have a unique vantage point by being on the field. So Matt Taylor, our play-by-play, voice of the Colts, Rick Venturi, our analyst, they're up in the booth. And they are the two most prepared guys I've ever worked with. They have so much expertise, so much analysis. I still have a different perspective being down on the field. And Matt and Rick both really well empower me to use my position on the field to contribute. And so I love that they will utilize where I am. You know, what am I seeing down there? Especially whether it's sideline dynamic, what's happening on the bench. Maybe it is an injury situation. Maybe it's a reaction to a pivotal play. So that, I think, is for me the part of being on the sidelines that I enjoy most and that I have a hard time removing myself from if I'm in the stands, perhaps like watching. Not normally I get to watch a football game, but a couple weeks ago, like, went to the Pacers game. Oh, I had fun like being in the stands, but I'm like looking around. I'm like, all right, where's JJ, Jeremiah Johnson? You know, what's he doing right now? What's he looking for? What storylines is he following? I'm always kind of curious about what's happening from the broadcast perspective, even when I might be there.
This next question might trigger some memories for you. Do you miss the alarm to get up for the early morning news? Because I know you before you worked in for the Colts and ESPN.
Yes. So I do not. I don't miss the early alarm. I do miss the people. There's something very special about a morning show dynamic. So prior to working for the Colts, I was on the morning show at 5:59 for a number of years as a traffic reporter. And so I worked with Angela Ganote and Scott Jones and Lindy Thaxton and Jim O'Brien and that incredible crew of people, and they are seriously some of the very best. And a couple of things that are special about a morning show dynamic is you become part of people's routines. People wake up in the morning, they put TV on, you know, they're obviously watching for weather, traffic, getting all the news and that, but they're kind of inviting you into an intimate period of time in their home. You're getting ready, you're having breakfast, you're getting the kids off to school, getting ready for work, doing that type of thing. So it's kind of, that morning routine is kind of sacred. So you do feel like that it is a privilege to be part of that period of time for people. Also, with Fox, one thing that was really special is, you know, we would do, the morning show would go from 4 to 10, whereas you think about other networks, if it's, you know, an NBC, CBS, ABC, they go to a national morning show, whether it's Good Morning America, Today Show, CBS This Morning, all of that. So you have such a long period of time to do so much more where you stay local. So that was really cool. And it was such an incredible opportunity for me to really grow. So thankful for my Fox family, both on the morning show and the sports department there, for the time that I spent there, for all the investment that they made in me. But yeah, that 2:30 a.m. alarm clock was never easy. Never got used to that.
I know you've been around Indiana pretty much your whole life, different parts. Mm-hmm. But in Indy specifically, what is your favorite activity?
Oh my gosh. I live around Broad Ripple. I love the Monon. I love getting over there, running, you know, when it's nicer out, you know, spring, summertime, we'll get out and bike. Also, huge fan of Holiday Park. I live pretty close to there. I love to take my dog over there. We run. It's actually where my husband and I got engaged. So it has, you know, significance there as well. So I love to like go, you know, restaurants, go out and about, try new spots. And Broad Ripple's so fun for that because it's so eclectic. So I love to like stay around my little village up there for sure and do that. I also, because of the location of the Colts complex out there, you know, West 56th Street on the northwest side, we're right across from Eagle Creek Park. So yeah. The last few years, I have got a park pass, and I'll try to go over and run the trails over there, run around the water, do all of that. So I've tried to do more exploring out in that area because of the proximity that we have. So I'm really trying to do kind of shift more and take advantage of that. It is unbelievable. I mean, the amount of, you know, landscape that's out there, the wildlife, everything. We've got like the adventure courses.
Yeah.
You can be out on the water. So I feel like that it's not hidden because it's so massive. So you can't really call it a hidden gem. But I just think that really around India, I don't know if we take it for granted or we just don't utilize it as much, but that's something where I've really been trying to kind of get out and explore that area a lot more.
Yeah, because my family likes to go to state parks every now and then, but like there's a lot of hidden places, especially in Indy, that you can go to that a lot of people don't know about.
Oh my gosh, totally. A couple Labor Days ago, my husband and I went around and bounced around to a couple of different parks, and there's one where it's like it has the like kind of waterfalls to it and everything, and the name escapes me right now, but it has been so cool to like see more of those places that are around and that are so accessible. And, you know, you can do, we did like a park pass and you could bounce around. We had to hit three parks in one day, you know, because of how easily drivable, you know, Indy is, or Indiana itself. And we took our dog and everything, which is always a big thing for me. I went to school at IU. And of course you have, you know, Bloomington and Monroe County. You have so many beautiful areas around there. We went and we did, this past summer, did a cabin in Brown County State Park and did that. And I love it. I love being able to still be here, be in Indiana, but still feel like that you're kind of removed in somewhere just, you know, completely different.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I want to do soon, I want to go try out the new, not a sports, the basketball court right by Gainbridge.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think they also have an ice rink in the winter.
That's what I've seen, like a Centennial Plaza. And then they have they're amazing with everything that they've built around there.
Yeah. I think this is going to be the last question for today. Going back to the Colts, of course.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite Colts player you've ever watched?
So I loved Bob Sanders.
Yeah.
That was when I was in college, was when I really started watching Colts games and the ferocity, the physicality, the aggressiveness. I loved everything about Bob and the style he played with. Similarly, Edgerrin James. I love how, and I've gotten to know Edgerrin very well now, having been with the team for a number of years, and obviously he's around a ton. His authenticity and, you know, kind of just embracing his story and what he brought to the team and the trajectory that he helped put that offense on. Love him. And then T.Y. Hilton, the fact that I was able to essentially cover his career almost start to finish was something really, really special. And T.Y. was fun for me from a personal and professional level because he didn't love interviews, was never super vocal or didn't like to do a ton of forward-facing, you know, media. But I always enjoyed that opportunity to try to find a fun dynamic with him. And so it was always a little bit of a challenge to, you know, kind of find whatever that prompt, that question, that trigger would be to get a really good reaction from him. Because I knew he didn't love doing it, but if you got him on the right thing, he would respond and give you so many great responses and anecdotes. Gosh, those are a few. Also, like, the entire Andrew Luck era was so special, and had the opportunity 2 years ago to sit down with Andrew to talk about the comeback over Green Bay. It was what's kind of known as the Chuck Strong game. What I always felt like whenever I talked with Andrew is that you got smarter. Like, you learned something whenever you sat down and talked with him and learned from him, whether it was football or beyond. Those are all, I mean, and I'm sure I'm leaving some off, but all of those guys have been so impactful to me in my career for different reasons. And that's part of how I feel. Just, I'm like, how do I get to do this? This is crazy. Like, how have I been able to have this many experiences and interactions and to be trusted with these stories? That's always something that I feel like is one of the greatest privileges of working in media, is when someone trusts you to tell their story, the investment that they make in you, and then the obligation that you have to produce that and present that in a way that well represents what they have entrusted you with.
I know I didn't get to see his full career, but just the energy I've seen when I go to Colts games, and of course I've watched his highlights before, Pat McAfee.
Oh, Pat's incredible. Pat is absolutely incredible. Like, one of the things that Pat brought, I mean, he was unbelievable. I mean, a Pro Bowl punter, yeah. You know, everything. Like, but he brought this bravado. Like, there was a little bit of a swagger to that team that he infused. You know, it was always, you kind of didn't know what to expect. Like, he would be so funny. And but also, too, like, the willingness to do absolutely anything. Like, you've probably seen, like, the tackles.
Yeah, I've seen the biggest
hits. Like, yes, I covered Pat's career when he was playing. And then I also was, like, not necessarily surprised. Although he was at the peak of his career, I wasn't surprised because he had, even, you know, you knew he had the ability to do absolutely anything because Pat is immensely talented at so many things. But what might be his greatest skill is people gravitate toward him. People want to be around him. People want to talk to him. They want to share their stories with him. That's why there is no one that Pat McAfee can't get on his show. Not just because of the prominence of the show. It's because people love him and respect him, and they have so much fun. And you genuinely just want to be in his presence or conversing with him and engaging with him. And he was special. I mean, he just made everything entertaining. I mean, the most mundane things, training camp practices, just regular locker room availability, anything and everything. It was like, well, hey, Pat's going to bring something. You always had to be ready.
I think that's all I have for you today.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for coming in.